This is Crow's Feet, a place where we ponder the question, are these our golden years, or does aging just suck? Well, yes, getting older is not for the faint-hearted, but aging also brings wisdom and humor, a finely tuned perspective on life. In our podcast, you'll meet writers and others rethinking our later years, people who inspire us to reimagine our future.
I'm Jean Feldeisen. I'm a crow's feet writer, a therapist, and perhaps some of you know me as a 70-ish woman. So today I want to introduce you to a crow's feet writer who is also an elder and recently took on the challenge of the famous pilgrimage, the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. The Camino has been an important Christian pilgrimage for over 1,000 years. And it consists of a series of roads through Spain and France that converge on the Cathedral of St. James in Compostela, Spain. The longest path is 500 miles, and each year over 250,000 people choose to walk one of these paths. The Camino is like a microcosm of humanity, each pilgrim walking the way for reasons of their own. Some as a spiritual journey, some as an adventure, some just to prove they can do it. If you think that long hikes like this are not for people your age, our guest today may change your mind about that. Mary Louisa Capelli is a crow's feet writer. She lives in California. She's been surfing since she was 14. She also has an impressive scholarly resume with degrees and experience in many different fields. So thanks for joining me today, Mary.
Oh, thank you for having me.
There are lots of opportunities for hikes and pilgrimages. And why this particular one?
Well, I discovered it when my youngest daughter went on it on her own, and she did half of it. I was very jealous that she did it, and she did it while I was still working full time. So it's not I knew anything I could do. So when my opportunity came after COVID, I just had to do it. And for me, it was a way to reconnect with myself. I am culturally Catholic. That part of it resonated with me. I'm stopping at churches because I love churches. I love to sit in churches. So I think that's what resonated with me. And also the hiking. I'm an avid hiker. So I love the thought of hiking. And I love the thought also of doing this on my own, especially right after COVID, to see if I could get back out there in the world. Keep on, keep it on, keep moving. My daughter inspired me, and it was, I would like to do that. Can I do that? Should I do it now? And then one of my friends who just turned 70, her new thing is, if not now, when? It's like, yeah, you're right. If not now, when? Right. When I can barely move.
So how did you prepare for this hike physically and mentally and logistically?
Hiking isn't a problem for me because I hike generally 5 miles a day anyway. So to prepare for it, after I played pickleball, or we call it killer ball because now they're trying to kill you with the balls, I would then walk another 10 miles. So I prepared by walking and walking.
Okay.
And I live right at the bottom of the Santa Monica Mountain. So I would walk uphill for a mile and a half, 2 miles, and I would go downhill, and then I would do it again. The hike, that part I wasn't worried about. The part I was worried about is of getting lost. My biggest fear, getting lost. And my daughter kept telling me, there's people on the Camino, you're not going to get lost. And of course, what happens? Like the second day I get lost. I missed the arrow, and then I had to walk back. I was like, I don't see any more arrows. Yeah, there's arrows everywhere, but some of them, the sun has faded them. So then you can't see them. You know, and there it is. There was the arrow on like on a wooden sign faded out on a tree. And it said to go, you know, to go in the opposite direction of which I was going. So if you don't see an arrow, you know, after like an hour, you're lost.
You turn around. Yeah.
And you don't see people. It's like, okay.
So physically, you were able to prepare for this.
I got trekking poles. That saved me. Trekking poles. Mm-hmm. And I've never hiked with trekking poles. So I certainly could not do it without trekking poles because I was afraid of falling.
What was the terrain like?
If you're going downhill, it's like, oh boy, I'm going downhill. And then it's like, oh no, I'm going downhill. That means one thing and one thing only. I'm going to have to go uphill. You know, I think the first day I was half of it was uphill. you know, the other half was maybe downhill, and there was very kind of little, like, you know, there were gentle acclivities, and then some of them were just boom, uphill. Yeah. And you just take it step by step. And also the first day I brought my computer with me on my backpack. My backpack was too heavy. So there was, you know, another realization, because on the Camino, there's a lot of time, especially if you're like myself and you're walking alone, to self-reflect on what you need and what you don't need. It was like, okay, I don't care if somebody steals my computer. I'm going to pack it in my suitcase and have it delivered to the next pension that I was going to. So all of that, everything comes into play when you're out there walking on your own with your essentials on your back.
Very brave. Well, it takes some guts.
Yeah, you have to like have, I think, courage, right? The courage to put one step in front of another and keep on keeping on. So I think that's one of the things I've learned from surfing, from some of the people I surfed with who were like, they were in their 80s. Now they're like approaching 90, like this one guy, Misto. It's like you can't stop, because once you stop doing something, then it's hard to get back into it. So it's like hiking and all of the, you know, anything that you do. Once you stop, then it becomes hard. So I think the key is just, as I learned from one of these men that I met along the way, you just got to keep moving on.
Did you worry about your age at all? Or did people try to talk you out of going because of your age? You were 67 at the time, right?
I was turning 67. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody tried to talk me out of it. You know, I'm a young soul who I still think I can do anything, even though now as an elder, I'm realizing and being humbled into realizing, well, you know, I have to modify. Even on the Camino, you have to learn, okay, I have to modify this right now. I can't carry this heavy backpack. I'm going to go at a slower pace. So after every 3 miles, I'm going to stop and make sure that I'm okay. And there's like one of the nice things about the Camino de Santiago is that there are cafes along the way. I think I stopped at, you know, 3 different cafes along the way. Because you also get your passport stamped at these cafes. So it's a good reason to get your passport stamped. You have a glass of water or you have a coffee. Some people drink their way through them.
Alcohol?
Oh, yeah. My German friends that I met, they drank mm-hmm. their way. And they were always ahead of me. And then I would see them at the bar. Then they'd pass, they'd have a beer, and then they'd quickly pass me. I would see them in the next cafe. Because they stopped at every cafe or bar and drank their way through the Camino. And some of the days were 15 miles. So I don't know how they did it, but they did.
So why do you get your passport stamped? Just tell our listeners.
It is a recognition by the Catholic Church that you went on a spiritual pilgrimage. It's one of those things that sit in a box that my daughters are going to have to go through when I'm dead. Oh, look. Mm-hmm. And then they'll toss it aside.
So while we're talking about the Catholic Church, we talked before about the spiritual versus the Disney World sides of the hike.
Well, the spiritual side is the way of James, which is the one I went. It's, as you mentioned, 500 miles long, leading to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Galicia. And history has it, or legend, the remains of the Apostle St. James the Great are said to be buried there. And according to this legend, the Blessed Virgin Mary told Apostle James to build a sanctuary in honor of God. And then in return, she would then make this place, this particular place, the Santiago de Compostela, which translates to St. James of the Field of Stars, a sacred place. See, the Virgin Mary in the Catholic Church is a big thing. So one of the reasons I still remain Catholic is because there is a female side, a very strong female side to the religion. You know, and again, then there's all the other, you know, politics of it and the horrors of the Crusades and all of that. But people make the church. And so people go because of that. They're going to this, you know, the remains of St. James. For me also, there was this spiritual side. As I said, I'm a cultural Catholic, and you know, and I pray a rosary every day for my daughters. So Some of those days I was praying five rosaries a day. You know, for me, it is somewhat of a meditation. It's a meditation. You're walking, you're praying, meditating, and it could be anything. I could be singing the ABC song. The other spiritual side, for me, I was coming out of I was a high school teacher in a public school, taught during COVID. It was pretty miserable towards the end. And so for me, I was trying to figure out, okay, now what do I do? And a lot of people do go on this pilgrimage, and it's not just a Catholic religious pilgrimage, a spiritual pilgrimage to rediscover and reconnect with their true selves. So for me, it was a way to reignite who I really am. Also to, as Thoreau would say, to just kind of root out everything that was not essential in my life, things that weren't making me happy anymore. The expectations of being something that, you know, I just didn't want to be anymore, which is, you know, a high school teacher. I always considered myself a college professor because I did that also. So going on the Camino helped me really, I think, a lot. There was a lot of self-reflection. And even with the people I've met, pretty much everybody, what if you were Catholic or whatever, you were there trying to figure out, okay, well, who am I? What now? What really, really matters in my life? Because there were people who were, you know, switching jobs. People, I met a man who lost his wife 6 months prior. There was a lot of that. And one of the things, I think I compared it to the Canterbury Tales, but without the hypocrisy, I met people from all walks of life and from all over.
So obviously there are lots of older people walking the Camino.
I was a young one.
I like that you call your fellow travelers elder pilgrims. It's also difficult to find the right language to describe us folks over 50 without using ageist terms that make you feel old.
I know.
I like elder pilgrims.
Yeah, elder pilgrims is a good. Also, it also has a connotation of wisdom, elder, right?
Yes.
You've lived long enough and you're an elder, which means also you're someone who's also able to guide, right? And mentor. Mm-hmm. So that I love that part. But yeah, I met some really incredible people. So I think one of them, her name was Kirsten, I believe. She was around 84.
I think she's in your story, isn't she?
She is. She's from Idaho. And she was walking with one of, she called her young friend, who was, I believe, about 76 at the time. And these two women, they were a hoot to be around because they had so much spirit in them. And I would see them, one of the things on the pilgrimage, because everybody's walking at a different pace. So sometimes you'll see people all the time, you just happen to be on that same pace, or sometimes you'll see one person, that's that. So Kirsten, and I think her name was Carla, I met the second day, and didn't see him again until the airport, till the whole thing was over. She was, for me, inspiring because not only did she do this particular pilgrimage, she was off to do the Ring of Kerry, which is apparently extremely gruesome. And I think it's 8 days walking along the countryside and the cliffs of Ireland. An older man who was walking, I think he was 90, in his early 90s, and he was walking with another woman.
I think you talk about these people really succinctly in your piece, so it might be better if you just read that.
Okay. How old is too old? Embracing adventure into your 90s and beyond. My solo 120-mile walk on the Camino de Santiago has taught me a few things about aging. It's a number. Don't get me wrong, as we age, we experience new aches and pains. We're not as fast as we used to be. We have to be mindful of what we eat, how we sleep, and where we step in case we fall. This last week, I met several elders walking the Camino who were older than me, and I'm no spring chicken at 67. Although compared to the 80-something pilgrims I met along the way, they considered me as such. I know, right? I guess age is relative. After all, one of my granddaughters calls me Little Old Grammy. One of the incredible elder pilgrims I met was Kirsten, an 84-year-old from Boise, Idaho, walking with her 76-year-old friend Carla. I walked with them at their pace for a few miles, and they shared their stories. Like Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, every pilgrim has a tale to tell, if you care to listen. Listen, I did, because as I near the last few years of my 60s, I ponder what life will be like in my 70s and beyond. I ventured to walk the Camino de Santiago because I feared I might not be able to do so later in life. Some of my friends in their 70s are starting to lose it, which, yes, has me worried. While there might be some truth to falling apart as we age and getting a life-threatening illness that tears our lives asunder, I learned from Kirsten and Carla that this is not always the case. After Kirsten finishes the Camino, she is off to Italy to rest and then onward to Killarney, where she will take on an 8-day walking tour in Ireland's countryside and cliffs on the Ring of Kerry. This one she is doing with her daughter-in-law. Then there's Alfonso, a 92-year-old elder from Venezuela, who has taken on the whole 500 miles of the Camino. I met him and his 62-year-old daughter, Elena, around that 100th mile. Alfonso and Elena started in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port on the French side of the Pyrenees and have been walking for 7 weeks at their own pace, sometimes stopping for a day or two for rest at one of the many hostels along the way. Alfonso inspired me, so I asked him for some advice on aging. Sigue moviéndote hasta que caigas muerto. Keep moving until you drop dead. The most challenging tale is from 66-year-old Harold from Ireland, who lost his wife a few months ago, had back surgery last year, and trekked the Camino one step at a time with his 65-year-old brother-in-law, who walked with him every step of the way to keep him company. Reflecting on all these magnificent people I met along the path, I've realized one thing I can hold true about the aging process. We don't stop exploring life and having new adventures because we grow old. We grow old precisely because we stop exploring and having new adventures.
You're listening to the Crow's Feet Podcast. This is Jean Feldeisen, and my guest today is Mary Louisa Capelli. We've been talking about her pilgrimage last April along the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. Tell me about I walk my own walk. What do you mean by that, and why is it important?
Well, that has a both metaphorical and a literal meaning to that. So figuratively, I walk my own walk is I am who I am. I can only be who I am at all times on the pilgrimage. As I walked my own walk, I'm very self-reflective, and there's so much time to think. I would also think about the people who inspired me, right? And walk my own walk. I think it was Joseph Campbell who said, it's a privilege just to be who I am. So I walk my own walk because the literal thing is I can't keep up with these young people. One guy with the dog, he must have been 18 and he had his dog with him on a long leash. And he was walking really fast and then he would slow down. And then I would have to then go around the leash and make sure I didn't trip on his leash because it was one of those that whatever you call it, that kind of leash that goes back and forth. So I almost got tripped up on him. Then there were times where I would start walking with someone and they were walking slower than me. And I would walk a little bit, but then, okay, I can't keep doing that. I'm not going to be doing that. I got to keep walking at my own pace. And then I think there was a time when I wrote about this also. I met this woman who didn't like the way I was using my poles. Like, what? It's like, and I'm just trying to be nice. You know, I had enough of nonsense at work. And my whole goal in life is I just want, you know, to honor people and be nice. Right. So I let her for an hour show me how to use the trekking poles the way she was doing them. I kept not really doing it right, according to her. And then I realized, okay, this is not working for me. And so I finally had kind of eased my way out of it. And I just said, thank you very much. And then she went on her way. And I think at that point also was something really weird. I saw a dog in a picture that somebody had put on their house, and it looked just like my old dog Buddy. And all of it just kind of like clicked in my head. It's like, okay, my dog was, he just did his own thing. He was like a stupid lab.
So you want to do your own thing, just like a dog.
I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to walk my own walk, right? My poles are going the wrong way. It worked for me. I survived it. And I enjoyed every step of the way, except for that 1 hour. God bless her.
God bless her. Is there any advice you would give elders who would like to take on the Camino or any other big hike like this in general?
I think a little research into it is good. It was for me. I don't think age should ever be a problem with it. As long as you're a little bit mobile, you could do it a step at a time. And that is something that we often said to each other, piano a piano, step by step. I think that's because there were some Italians that I met and I walked with, and that's something we would say, just step by step, take it step by step. So that is probably something, and a little research into it so that you know what your body can do, because only you can do what your body can do. So if you're in for 3 miles a day, 5 miles a day, 15 miles a day, like I was, it just depends. So a little looking at the Camino itself, looking at the route and figuring out, okay, how many miles can you walk a day? How many miles can you push yourself to do? I think that would be probably the best research. Also looking at some of the companies that are out there. I think that's very important to look at what reviews there are about the company. I used Camino Way. No, I used Follow the Camino after looking at several of the other companies. And they were fine. They messed up a few things, but that's something to be expected.
And they're responsible for getting your luggage from one place to another and making reservations for you and that sort of thing?
Yes, they are. And I don't know if I should tell you some of the, I call them hiccups. On any trip, there's going to be a hiccup. So there were a couple hiccups with my particular tour company. One time I got there and they told me I had to go to another hotel. Like, what? I had already walked 15 miles. And then when you get to the hotel area, you've got to walk another, like, maybe a half a mile. So when I got there, I was told they didn't have any rooms for me. So that is a hiccup after walking 15 miles. But then they ended up sending me to this absolutely glorious place, which was just wonderful. That was a hiccup, and that turned out that was fine. So just be prepared. There's not going to be everything is smooth sailing all the time. There's hiccups, and that's okay. And when you get past those hiccups, it really makes you stronger. It's like, oh, okay, I can do that. Bring it on. What else is going to mess up?
So how do you think people our age might benefit from doing this walk?
Like everyone else who goes on the walk is what you benefit from. You develop courage, basically, and a feeling that it's possible to do things that you had fear of doing. So for me, I had just come back from COVID. I hadn't really done anything, and I was doing this by myself. And I had some reservations about it. But once I started walking, every day I was more courageous. There is a wonderful sense of completion and strength. So like a spiritual strength, because you have the courage to do it. And then a physical strength, the reinforcement that also your body helped you. One foot in front of the next every day. So is something that most everyone that I met came away with. It's worth that because it is very empowering.
One final question for you. Are you going back?
Yes, I am. In fact, I plan on going back, and I'm looking into it right now, making sure you're hiking at times that's good for your body. I am not someone who can do any hiking at all when it's 100 degrees out like it is in the summertime. So I plan on going back next April, and this time I plan on doing it through the Portuguese, so the Portuguese way. Because it will be completely different terrain.
Crow's feet will be cheering you on as you go.
Yes.
Our Crow's Feet village.
Thank you.
Did you want to say one thing?
One of the things that when I came home, I started saying, and even when I got to Italy, and then it's like, well, people were looking at me, I would say buen camino every time I saw them. In Italy, my saying buen camino to them did not go over so well because I didn't get it back. Whereas when you go on the Camino de Santiago, everyone's going to say happy journey, good journey to you. So, I mean, one of the reasons to go back is to have that collective sense of that we're all as human beings on a journey together.
Buen camino. Is that right?
Yes, buen camino.
Buen camino. Thank you so much for talking with me today, Mary. And buen camino to you.
Thank you. And buen camino a te.
Today's episode was produced by me, Jean Feldeisen. Our executive producer is Nancy Peckenham. Editing and sound design by Rich Halton, with support from our Crow's Feet team, Betsy Allen, Lee Bench, Kathy Dunn-Gilbert, Jan Flynn, Nancy Franklin, and Warren Turner.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Crow's Feet, Life as We Age. Don't miss any of our great stories. Subscribe to Crow's Feet wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tell your friends and family to give a listen, too. And leave a rating or review. You can read more Crow's Feet stories online at medium.com/crows-feet. And check back next month for a new episode. So until next time, remember to savor every moment. As Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have, where you are.
How about making friends with your crow's feet?